This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in on a Tuesday. I can look out the window down here on our beautiful studios in downtown St. Louis and see the wind whipping around out there. Kim, I don't know about you, but I was driving in this morning and looked in my rearview mirror and saw flashes of lightning back behind me.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, I mean, I think up near Troy, places like that, they're kind of getting a little hammered about right now. So it looks a little spotty on the radar, but I think we're all going to see some rain here before the morning is out. By around 9 a.m., we'll see rain all over the place. How does that impact the election day in the city? I don't know. The primary election starts at about 7 this morning, and people will be out voting. I guess there was a final push yesterday. More campaign ads than I've seen in a long time for the city of St. Louis. Mainly Kara Spencer.
A lot of mail yesterday. I actually got Darlene Green mail yesterday.
Wow. Been a while since she's had a campaign.
I know.
No kidding.
It was interesting.
Who's running against her, Carl?
Donna
Behringer.
Who was she was a local rep, then a state rep, and then a senator.
And I believe a regular on the Reardon Roundtable.
She is.
I believe.
She's
I've heard her on there before.
I think the two mayoral candidates, though, who will move forward would be Tashara Jones and Kara Spencer.
I would say that's most likely, but, you know, there's been a move afoot to get people to vote for the other three, to vote for anybody but Tashara. Because when the first round is over, then they start taking second, third, and fourth votes for everybody else. I mean, there could be a surprise today, but that's the real race. And if you look at the last polling I saw, which has been a couple of weeks from Channel 5, Kara Spencer was in the lead in that poll. Mm-hmm. But when the other two candidates are removed, where do the Michael Butler votes go if he's not in the top two? I don't know. You know, Andrew Jones is a great guy, but unfortunately for him in the city, even though there's no party affiliation connected to people on the ballot under this crazy voting scheme they have down here, it's hard to get traction if you're a Republican.
But you don't know that in this round.
What do you mean?
Well, because they have the political party.
No party affiliation.
Yeah, but people know Andrew because he's run multiple times.
Yes, he has.
I mean, he's a known name, so most people know that he is a Republican. He's run for Congress.
You would think. You're right. I think the vast majority of people should know, but I am dumbfounded how little people know. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but how many people, if they're not regular listeners of this program or read the news, seriously, I bet you there's a number of people who have not even a clue there's an election today. Like somehow they've thrown the mail away and they have no clue. They're living under a rock.
There is the biggest advantage for Tashara Jones in this race is that there is a committed group of people who do vote, and then for Kara Spencer to win, I think she's got to draw in a significant portion of people who aren't normally politically active. Now, how do you do that? I don't know. You have a mayor who has, in some ways, pissed off a lot of different constituencies with her travel and lack of attention to detail on trash and snowy roads and things like that. I mean, it could be enough to spur it.
I would be very curious to know. Well, the snow really works in Kara Spencer's favor because it was such a terrible response. But I'm really wondering who the chief of police would be, Robert Tracy, would be voting for. Because, you know, he and Tashara Jones, of course, publicly, he's very much in support of her and says, oh, you know, anything we need, she's been helpful. And I'm not buying that.
You're assuming he's registered to vote in the city of St. Louis.
Doesn't he live in the city?
Has he changed his registration from New York? The police chief.
Oh, I assume he lives in the city.
I think he has to.
Oh.
Because I know now the other police officers don't have to live in the city, no. But I assume many of them still do. Who were they voting for? I know you have buddies, Mark. I know you won't say it on the air, but I'd be very curious.
They're not voting for Shashara Jones. I know that. But, I mean, it's as I've said before, with those two, it's out of the fat and into the fire. Kara Spencer, in my opinion, is just as radically left progressive as Tashara Jones.
Yep.
I don't know that one is any better than the other, except for the fact that Spencer is the newest of the two faces and maybe a little less tied to some of the, I don't know, seedier side of politics in St. Louis City. Maybe that's the difference. That's just my two cents. I don't know. But anyway, you can start voting. Take your umbrella at about 7 if you live in the city. You can vote in your primary election today. All right. Coming up a little later, we got a great show for you. We're going to talk to Jenna Ellis. Remember her? She was a former Trump campaign and administration spokesperson. She now works for the American Family Association. She's got her own radio show as well. And there's a congressman who has submitted a bill that would allow Donald Trump to run for a third term.
I would never support that.
So the thing about it is, up until FDR, you could do it. You could run for multiple,
yes,
3, 4, 5 times if you wanted. And then they changed that. So it's not like it's in the Constitution spelling it out. Congress could lift the limit on to now the same people that won't vote for term limits in Congress want this limit on the presidency. So, there's an argument out there that, well, that's not really, but why is it okay for you to enrich yourself and Donald Trump doesn't even take a salary and stay in office indefinitely and not allow another politician to do that? I'm just saying, I don't know that I support the idea of three terms for a president or not, but we're going to talk about that this morning and maybe what the political reality is there of that situation happening. I've got Pastor Michael Schust phoning in this morning as well, and he is a Czechoslovakian native, an immigrant to this country who spent time in prison under a communist government. And he doesn't like what he's seeing in Ukraine. Specifically, he's the one who drew it to my attention that there have been crackdowns on certain Christian groups within Ukraine. Now, Ukraine is a largely Christian nation, but there are allegations that some people, some Orthodox Christians in that country, I don't know if Zelensky believes they are tied to Putin or what it is, but there's been a crackdown on like the largest Christian denomination in the Ukraine. We're going to talk to Pastor Schust about that, who's still very connected to what's going on in Europe. But right now, Carl, let's get to a few of our other top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I want one thing to happen. I want all of those young people to stop being killed. They're being killed by the thousands every single week. Last week, 2,700 were killed.
Yeah, President Trump yesterday froze all of the funding to Ukraine and all weapon shipments and everything else to try to get the attention of one of Volodymyr Zelensky.
When you've lost Lindsey Graham, means you need to come to the negotiating table and recognize Donald Trump is the only game in town. He's the only person who I think has a meaningful plan to save that country.
You see the report that Zelensky had a meeting with Chris Murphy and these other left-wing progressive Democrats just before the White House meeting? I wonder what that had to do with that whole situation going off the rails.
NPR and NPS participate in opinion journalism, which they're entitled to do, but they can't do it on the taxpayer dime.
Woo.
They're doing it on the taxpayer dime, but they shouldn't be able to.
John Kennedy introducing the No Propaganda Act. He wants to cut off any public funding to NPR and PBS.
By the dawn's early light, what's so proudly we hailed,
Yeah, that was, by the way, not the Four Nations hockey tournament where the Canadians were booing during the United States national anthem. When it happens once, it could just be emotions. When it happens twice, I think you've got a little bit of a trend on your hands. The also nice Canadians must really dislike the United States of America. You're starting to get that that impression. I've just kind of always viewed the Canadians as kind of milquetoast, generally speaking. I mean, in terms of politics or any of that, progressive left milquetoast.
Yeah. Have you been to Canada?
Sure. Yeah, number of times. Been fishing up there.
That's right. You do go fishing up there. And, yeah, I went as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, beautiful country.
Yeah, but very expensive.
They are, you know, uniquely independent in their views, and they have no Second Amendment. They have no First Amendment. They have none of those things, and don't share a lot of the values that I think that with Americans. But that was Pat McAfee fired on them before that WWE tournament, and I'm going to get to that for you when we come back from the break, because we've gone a little bit long here. Carl Middleman,
yeah,
who's got our national anthem today?
So that woman that was being booed is Elizabeth Irving. She is the normal anthem singer at the Rogers Arena. And this is her not being booed.
Oh, nice.
So Elizabeth Irving, who is an American, by the way, singing our national anthem.
All right, well, happy Fat Tuesday. We're having, apparently, all of you are invited over to the Middleman household tonight for jambalaya. Is that right?
Yeah.
You extending that out?
Sure.
Little andouille sausage.
If you know where I live, feel free
to
show.
Most people don't. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's good for you. I will not be doing that, but thank you for the invitation. I've got a school event I have to attend tonight, so I cannot go to that.
Kim, if you ate after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd invite you.
You know, I do eat, though, in the morning.
Oh, like tomorrow, if there's any...
I will not be bringing that because it's going to have sausage in it, and Catholics don't eat meat on Ash Wednesday.
I'm not Catholic.
She's not Catholic, yes, so she can eat it tomorrow.
I cannot... The temptation...
Can't touch it? Oh, the temptation.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother said.
Well, if you have
said,
any leftovers, I would be more than happy to take them off your hand.
Because you don't want it hanging around the house. You'll be tempted to eat it.
As my grandmother said, offer that up.
Yeah, thank you.
All the time.
I'm here and I'm willing. I'm just saying.
She's here for you,
and
Carl.
I think pregnant people are exempt from that, by the
way. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fortunate for me. I'm not Catholic,
she's exempt
so I can.
From it because she's not Catholic.
But. Yeah, that would be hard.
As our buddy and your former roommate Guy used to say, F the meat law is what he used to say.
Oh, is that right?
I am looking forward to fish fries, though, because we went to, I know Mark Reardon does a show live from different parishes.
And this Friday.
Yeah,
yes,
and man, I went to one of them last year and had some good food.
I think he's downtown this week. We'll have to get the schedule so we can remind people of it. I heard him bragging about it yesterday. Sue can probably tell us because she was reading the menu on the show yesterday. So we'll have to check in with her and find out where that is so people can go out and see the Reardon crew and hang out. Yeah, we always make it a point to get to one of the parishes because we're not Catholic either, but yep. I love the fish fries and certainly don't mind supporting them.
Do they have fish tacos ever?
Yes.
They did.
I've been really on a fish taco kit. I have like really weird random cravings, like jelly beans this week. I've been obsessed with the idea of like, I need jelly beans, but I also want fish tacos.
I can't remember which parish it was, but there is one that does that. Because somebody reached out to me about it last year. Maybe it's in Chesterfield.
Let me
know.
Know.
Maybe there's more than one. I don't know. It's out of my pay range. I don't know. Hey, let's get back to our friends at Canadians, eh? So you heard the audio Carl played earlier from the WWE event. What town was that? What city was that in, Carl? Was it in Ontario?
It's in Rogers Arena, so I want to say Toronto.
Toronto.
It was a big deal because John Cena turned heel. He was a good guy, and then he turned a bad.
Okay.
Because he's now aligned with The Rock instead of Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
If you know what any of that means, it's a big deal in the WWE.
Okay. I like him as an actor, so that's all I can say. I don't know any. I don't follow it beyond that.
He is acting, Mark.
I don't follow it beyond that. But, however, Pat McAfee, who used to be a punter in the NFL, is now an analyst for WWE.
Is there... color analyst.
And he was in the arena last night when they booed the U.S. national anthem. And I got to tell you, I'm a big Pat McAfee fan after this one. Hit it, Carl.
These are the most stacked elimination chambers that the WWE has ever had. Kind of sucks that it's in the terrible country of Canada that booed our national anthem to start this entire thing. But it's going to be a historic night for the WWE on the road to WrestleMania.
Let's get underway with it.
Yeah. Kind of a shame it's up here. I was glad somebody spoke out about it. I'm sure the broadcast executives were wishing he would have kept his mouth shut, but it is WWE, right?
Well, they also aired
the throwdown.
They also aired the booing.
So. Yeah, they did. They did. You have to keep that in mind.
You can boo other things, the players, things like that, but you don't boo the national anthem.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, another Canadian official, Doug Ford, threatened to cut off. He's the premier of Ontario. He threatened to cut off. Apparently, they provide some electricity as part of a grid to some U.S. areas, and he threatened to pull the switch. He's so mad at Donald Trump for putting tariffs on. He wants to punish him. We have that sound, don't we, Carl? Is it cut 12?
We keep the lights on. The 1.5 million homes and manufacturing in New York, in Michigan, and in Minnesota. If he wants to destroy our economy and our families, I will shut down the electricity going down to the U.S. And I'm telling you, we will do it. It's unfortunate. I would rather ship you more electricity, ship you more critical minerals. I want to ship you more energy, more potash to keep your farmers going, and uranium that you use for your nuclear power. It comes through from Saskatchewan over to Ontario, and it's going to be a massive, massive problem.
Doug is about to go the Zelensky route if he challenges Donald Trump like this. He really is. He has not learned his lesson very well. 80% of Canadian goods come to the United States. 80%. Wow. All right, coming up, we'll get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Usually if you hear about somebody graduating with honors, getting a scholarship to a great university, it's fair to assume that that person is likely above average in just about every subject. Would you agree with that? Should be.
I would think that's the goal, right? You're awarding them, rewarding them for something.
Right. There's a 19-year-old who graduated with honors from Hartford Public High School in Connecticut. Her name is Alicia Ortez. Well, she got a scholarship to UConn, which is very exciting, but now she's suing her school district because turns out after 12 years of public education, Mark, she can't read or write.
What?
Cannot read or write. Not from the United States initially. Mother brought her over when she was young, I believe. And you're thinking right now, as I was, well, how did she get through class? Listen, there's a report, and this reporter is talking with this girl. Listen to this.
President Zelensky,
when she was in early education,
they would just either tell me to sit in a corner and sleep, or just draw pictures, flowers for them.
And when she was in high school, she relied on speech-to-text programs and other apps to read and write essays.
Is
wow.
that not nuts? So, and there's, I didn't want to play the audio because when you're listening to it, obviously you see the video. And so they're saying, oh, look at this, check this out. And so it's not the best for radio. But basically, that's what she would do is there are apps that I didn't even know about where if I held it over something, it would essentially scan a picture of it and then it would read to me what it says. And same for her. She would just voice what she wanted for, say, a paper that she had to write for one of her classes. And then that would type it up, you know, it would put it out there for her. And she would turn that in and somehow that was enough. And this girl, because the question, of course, you should ask is, well, is this really the girl's fault because she should have spoken up about it or was it on the teachers? Well, this girl says, my mom went to the school multiple times and expressed concern about my lack of ability to read or write and basically was dismissed. How do you graduate with honors if you can't read or write?
So I have a few questions here. Number one, what responsibility does the mother play in all of this upon learning at some point that her child can't read or write? Instead, the school has most of the blame here, but at some point the parent goes and gets the child some tutoring or something and assumes there must be a problem if you've gotten to your senior year in high school and you can't read or write. Right?
Yes.
So some responsibility has to fall on the mom's shoulders.
I agree.
Number two, I have a family member who used to teach in a couple of local districts and told me many years ago, probably 15 years ago in one district she worked in, that problem children would just be pushed on to the next grade. Whether they passed the requirements for the reading level of that grade or not, the teachers didn't want to deal with them, and they just pushed them on through to the next grade. It was the unwritten policy in their district at the time to basically do this. Nobody talked about it, but how many of those kids ended up graduating and couldn't read or write at a fourth grade level?
I mean,
it's amazing.
It's terrible. The mom of this girl apparently doesn't speak much English. She's originally from Puerto Rico. But I agree with you that I think that some of the responsibility falls onto the mom. I don't know what her financial situation was, if she couldn't afford a tutor, but certainly there would be some way to set that up. If it's a public school district, wouldn't there be a tutor included where if she needed the extra help, they would have had access to those resources?
And she said they told her to go sit in a corner. There is no way that we have to assume 15 or 20 teachers over the course of her career there didn't realize that she had a problem. I mean, how is that a thing?
I don't know, because nowadays they have that ESL, which is English as a second language. And so there's special attention given to those students who their native tongue is not English, and help them, I assume,
but
specifically with reading and writing
language.
She can,
she,
as you heard her, you can absolutely understand her. And it's really sad. I mean, you talk about the reading levels, and you and I have discussed this on the show, Mark, about here in Missouri, the reading skills have continued to drop. And this is not just from COVID. It certainly did not help. There was probably a drastic drop from COVID, but this has been a downward trend for years. Listen to this. So this is an article that came out this year, January of this year. It says in Missouri, 27% of fourth grade students and 26% of eighth grade students scored proficient and above, which means they've mastered essential reading skills. That's down from more than 33% in 2019. But still, only 33% have essential reading skills for fourth grade and eighth grade? This isn't some above and beyond, like you're writing poetry and you're, this is just, they're saying mastered essential reading skills.
This is why you need competition for your public schools. And every teacher that's listening to the sound of my voice this morning knows that is the God's honest truth. There is no accountability in these public schools in many cases. And if with a wink and a nod, somebody like this can get pushed through 12 grades and nobody cared enough to single that student out and help, you know that's part of the problem. If that mother at some point had the opportunity to take her child and put her in a different school with different standards, then eventually the enrollment would dwindle to the point that they would have to fix the system. Right now, there's zero pressure on the public schools to fix the system.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody attends the school board meetings. The teachers' unions only care about the next raise in many cases, and they're the ones electing people to the school boards, which we have a big election coming up in April.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have more of those candidates on in the next coming weeks. But there's a lack of interest mm-hmm. in what's going on inside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of attention to detail.
I wholeheartedly agree. People don't understand the importance of some of these smaller elections, the ripple effect that this can have if you're not actually showing up to the polls and deciding who's going to sit on these school boards. You know, the article I'm referring to right now and the news story I played for you earlier talks about the racial disparities and how women are more likely to have, you know, not as high of reading and writing skills. And this article, which, by the way, I should mention, is NPR. That tells you everything you need to know.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
But I trust the statistics as far as like only 22% and 37%. But then listen to this. It says racial disparities also persist for math and reading scores. In fourth grade reading, black students in Missouri scored 32 points lower than white students. Hispanic students scored 18 points lower. Economically disadvantaged students scored 29% lower than their peers who were not disadvantaged. Now, I don't know how they determined if you're not disadvantaged. I guess if you're white, I guess that's their line right there.
Economic disadvantage, it's because of the color of your skin.
It must be.
Disadvantage.
It seems like that might be it. I'm not really sure how they go about that.
This is the thing another thing that sticks in my craw about the people on the left side of the political spectrum who are opposed to vouchers, who are opposed to letting you port your education money to the place where your child can get the best education. The people impacted by that the most are the ones you claim to care about the most, which are the poor and disadvantaged. They're trapped in school districts if they don't have the economic means to change addresses and move to a different district. That's where their disadvantage is. And it will follow that child the rest of their life. And yet, you're too tied up in your union membership or whatever it happens to be to not want to allow those tax dollars to be ported.
Mm-hmm.
You could make the difference in the life of a child. A little bit of competition would make a sea change in the world of education.
I agree. Is there a big concern among teachers that they'll lose their jobs because they're worried that the schools
numbers would drop?
Right, that they wouldn't have enough funding to basically stay open, or they'd either have to drastically cut staff or just straight up close the school altogether.
Yeah, well, I mean, it might be a little painful for a few years.
But some pruning is a process that is necessary. Pruning is not something that's easy and enjoyable, but pruning is absolutely necessary if you want to advance. If you want to get better, you have to go through that painful process.
My mom was a teacher. A lot of my aunts, a lot of my friends are in education. I get that. I'm not saying we're trying to hurt. It's not about trying to hurt public schools. It's about trying to get their attention and get them back to focusing on what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Not pronouns, math and writing, reading, the basics that we've so moved away from that. It's a sad state of affairs. There's no doubt about that at all. Wow. Hey, by the way, not great news about the Pope, and a surprising story on who may be one of the leading candidates. Heaven forbid something happens to the Pope, who had to be put back on a respirator. They're now starting to write articles on who potential replacements might be. One of them was a former St. Louis cardinal, or archbishop, I should say, here in St. Louis. And I think he's now a cardinal. So we'll talk about that and more when we come back. Stay tuned. So as I mentioned earlier, the latest news on Pope Francis is not promising. He had a couple more respiratory failures, and they have got him apparently back on a respirator. And everybody's hoping that he's going to recover. But there's already discussions of what happens in the event that he does not recover. He is 88 years old, and they don't know what to expect next out of all of this. He's got a pneumonia in both lungs. And this is an article that I read over at Fox 2 Now, which is regarding who could be the next pope. Many have speculated in that list of candidates that one could be a St. Louisan who would also be the first American pope if selected. Which means it won't happen. So several outlets have speculated that 76-year-old Raymond Leo Burke, the former archbishop of the St. Louis Archdiocese in the 2000s, potentially could be one of the 137 contending cardinals eligible to take leadership. Now, that is a vague statement.
Yes.
There are 137 of them eligible to take leadership. If he's already a cardinal, he would be one of the 137.
That is correct.
By default.
By default, right?
Not because they think he would be the best person for the position.
The article was pretty interesting because it went on to point out that he was considered one of the more conservative cardinals, and this pope clearly is not. And that he had been challenging Pope Francis and the church on their progressive views of contraception, the LGBTQ community, and civil marriages. The Greek reporter said, beginning in 2013, Burke was slowly removed from all groups by Francis, according to a 2019 interview with the New York Times. He left me with a title, but I don't have a function. So all this is seeming less and less likely. It is clear the Pope doesn't want me in any leadership positions, but that he doesn't see me as the kind of person who wants to be giving any strong direction to things. I've never had the impression he thinks I'm his enemy, he said. He was reappointed to the Vatican's High Court. There have been no official reports on who might succeed, but of course Burke's name is on the list. I would say everything I've just read there makes it least likely. Carl, you are the only Catholic on the show here this morning.
Yes, hello.
Your opinion is that it might be somebody from a highly populated country that has a lot of potential upside in terms of growth for the church.
I was actually talking to somebody that works for the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and they were saying that they believe it's going to be somebody from Africa or India.
Huh.
Which would be huge, because I think the Christian percent, it's like 2% Christian in India, and I don't know what it is in Africa. I'm sure
Africa's
a little higher.
A lot higher.
I was going to say, I imagine it's a lot higher, but yeah. But I don't see people in India. I mean, that's the hope, is that people would, you know, turn to Christ in India, around the world, but I don't know if I see that happening anytime soon.
Well, they've been trying for a lot of years. They've been at it for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Not that the Bible would tell you to ever give up.
No, absolutely
not. They have been
at
it for a lot of years.
Well, and I was telling you guys during commercial break, I went on a mission trip there to Calcutta. It's like 1% Christian there, if that. And I was baptized there, and we were able to give testimonies, and obviously it had to be translated for us because they were speaking Bengali or something like that. And they were saying some of them had been kicked out of their homes because when they became a Christian, that is like you're shunned.
Well, I have, as a non-Catholic, been highly critical of some of this Pope's policies and his liberalization of so many things within the church, and obviously demoting people like Burke because they are considered to have conservative views.
Any cardinal can get in on this.
So yeah, if he
rounds up enough people to support him, it doesn't matter.
I mean, how many cardinals, I know this is a complete guess, but how many of those 137 cardinals who would be eligible to be Pope would have those more conservative views? Do you think a lot of them are more in line with Pope Francis?
A lot of them don't want to be Pope.
Just because of the...
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
But people like power.
But I also read that Pope Francis
had been very
smart. No, you're right, but...
I also read that he had been very strategic in elevating people that shared his worldview recently positions.
I'm sorry, Mark. If you see the movie Conclave, that's what all this is about. It's very political.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure.
But the Catholic Church, I guess I can only talk about here in the United States, it's conservative. So it's just so odd. I mean, there are a lot of people who are liberal, but they go to church every
Sunday. This is true.
But the church itself, I would say, is conservative.
But I think we may have hit a new high watermark this year in terms of the number of Catholics who voted for Trump. I think that number was 57% or something like that, which is promising. Let's put it that way. All right, coming up, we'll get to former Senator John Lamping. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.